Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, January 15th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Student enrollment in the Fresno Unified School District has been continually declining. So district leaders recently offered a retirement deal to nearly 2,000 employees.
We had about 573 employees take the early retirement offer.
Coming up, we speak with District Superintendent Misty Herr about why so many employees got the offer. But first, these headlines. A federal court in Los Angeles on Wednesday upheld California's new congressional maps. Voters approved the new maps during a special election in November for Proposition 50. The goal of Prop 50 was to boost Democratic seats in Congress to offset Republican gerrymandering efforts in other states. Republicans in California sued to stop the maps from moving forward. They argued that the maps were drawn to favor Latino voters, but the three-judge panel rejected their argument. Opponents may still appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. Fresno County community groups announced this week a new tax measure they aim to get on the November ballot. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, it replaces a measure that died last week.
The proposal is a sales tax to fund transportation projects in Fresno County. If it sounds familiar, it's because it's just like Measure C, a current transportation sales tax that expires next year. The Measure C renewal effort collapsed last week over policy differences. The new initiative is also a half-cent sales tax, but the focus will be on local roads and projects rather than regional ones. Clovis City Councilmember Lynn Ashbeck says that's because this is led by community members rather than county leaders.
This plan was built, as you've heard, through direct input from community members, stakeholder groups, and was led by a citizen committee representing every part of Fresno County.
In fact, it was a dispute with county supervisors that ended the Measure C renewal process. Organizers say they aim to qualify the proposal for the November ballot by April. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
California lawmakers are advancing a $10 billion bond to fund affordable housing. Their goal is to get the bond on the June primary ballot. It includes funds for wildfire prevention, rental assistance, and first-time homebuyer support. Meanwhile, a rent control proposal failed in the Assembly Judiciary Committee. It would have capped rent increases, but faced opposition from landlords and realtors. A UC Irvine study found groups of lightning ignition fires were behind some of California's most destructive wildfire years. Cap Radio's Manola Sakaita has more.
The report found that having many ignitions in close proximity, which can happen when lightning starts fires, can boost their spread. Rebecca Shulton is a UC Irvine postdoctoral researcher studying wildfires. She says improving California's ability to forecast lightning events could help when managing them.
I think a big part is actually better forecasting, because if we know where and when it happens, then it's also going to be easier to deploy your resources.
Shulton says lightning ignition fires can also be difficult to manage because they often happen in remote areas. That can mean fewer resources are readily available to respond to them. She says better forecasting would help teams be better prepared in more remote circumstances and also be more informed. In Sacramento, I'm Manola Sakaita.
An international animal rights group has placed the Fresno Chaffee Zoo on its list of the 10 worst zoos for elephants in North America. The group, known as In Defense of Animals, is critical of zoos for so-called breeding practices around elephants. The group says elephants can live up to 60 years in the wild, but their lives are shortened when they're held in zoos. The Chaffee Zoo rejected the claims in a statement to local media. They also said they've been accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums since 1979. A decade ago, Fresno zookeepers also took part in a national initiative to boost the welfare of captive elephants.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Fresno State, providing short courses and activities for everyone 50 and better. Registration for the spring semester is now active, and more info is available at fresnostate.edu/OLLI. The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, where learning never ends.
And now to our main story. More than 500 teachers and staff with Fresno Unified recently accepted an early retirement deal. Their departures are set to save the district upwards of $50 million over the next 5 years. It's worth noting that a majority of the people who accepted retirement are teachers, and this comes at a time when the district has fewer students in the classroom because of declining enrollment. So, how will this cost-saving measure help the state's third-largest school district move forward? To find out, today we're speaking with Fresno Unified Superintendent Misty Herr. Misty came to the KVPR studios to discuss the district's retirement incentive. Misty starts by explaining why the district proposed this option to retirees in the first place.
Let me give it a little bit of context about why we even did the early retirement. Fresno Unified, we are in declining enrollment, and so we're losing about 1,000 students a year, and we haven't really bounced back when it comes to average daily attendance from COVID. And with that, we have to go back to, like, how do we right size our district again? So we were a district of 80,000 in 2002, and that has, you know, continuously gone down. We've been using the number 70,000. We're about 67,000 students,
oh, wow,
you know, right now. And so, you know, over the years, as we have received LCFF dollars and then with the COVID ESSER relief, you know, dollars, we've added and added and added, but we've never really, like, gone back to reassess to say, while our enrollment has declined, we kept adding all these, you know, things to our district. So now how do we go back and how do we thoughtfully and purposely right size our district to the number of students that we have right now? So the early retirement was done in so that, one, to honor the work that our retirees have put into our district. I mean, some of these people had like 40, 45, 50 years in our district. But also, as part of right-sizing our district, there are going to be some strategic abandonments that we do, some increases in standard of completion for us, and some decreases in the standard of completion for us. And so this was one part of the plan to go back and right-size. And so we offer the early retirement. It was for anyone who is 55 years and older. Mm-hmm. And out of that, we had about 573 employees take the early retirement offer.
So you mentioned some background on what prompted this decision. How common is it to offer an early retirement plan like this? I mean, are we talking only in dire straits, or is this sort of a strategic decision maybe a district would do once a decade?
Yeah, I mean, this is very strategic. I mean, we don't offer it every year. I think the last time we did this was back in, I might probably not get the year right, but around 2002, 2003. And that's when we were in a financial crisis in the district. I was a teacher and then moving into an administrator at the time. And that's, if you think about that time, 2000, if you go back and you just search.
I think it was like, about 2010.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like when we started to do it. And so we haven't offered it since.
Okay.
And so what we're doing is actually, like, to your point, very strategic.
Okay. You're estimating that this will save the district $56 million over the next 5 years. What can the district do with that extra funding and those savings?
So as I moved in my interim year as superintendent, our board committed to what is called student outcomes focused governance. And we developed a set of very strategic 4 goals and 4 guardrails. And so now what we're going to be moving into is we're going to be moving into our strategic plan. So we have goals and guardrails. We have interim goals, interim guardrails. We have initiatives now that are going to be in alignment to those goals and guardrails. And so what we're going to be moving towards now is aligning our initiatives to those goals and guardrails, and then aligning our budget to those goals and guardrails, so that, you know, everyone knows this is where the ship is going. This is where we need to land in 2030, because we are going to have a 5-year strategic plan. And so we're really looking at our resources of time, people, and treasure, which is our budget, all in alignment to those goals and guardrails. That's where everything is going to go.
You know, some people might be thinking that, of course, school districts need to be doing all they can to save money. But I could see some critics saying that all these teachers retiring could put student education in jeopardy. They're taking a lot of institutional knowledge. They're taking a lot of experience with them. How should members of the public square those concerns with the district's goals?
So that is absolutely right. I mean, I was a little nervous because when I looked at it, and I'm like, you know, some people, they have years. I mean, think about it. I've been in the district for 33 years. That's 33 years of when I started as a paraeducator, right? Until, you know, now being superintendent. And so for some of our people, they're taking like institutional knowledge with them. And so one, before they go, we're going to try to download all that information, especially, you know, people who are working on very, strategic things at the district office, download and get all that information. We've been doing a lot of cross training. So what people know is not dependent on one person and what's in their brain, but how do we get like tons of other people to know it? But in terms of like, especially our teachers, there are going to be teachers that are going to be leaving with so much knowledge. And so that's where the partnerships with the universities, with the hiring that we're going to be doing. You know, if you haven't seen, we've already started putting, hey, come and work for us. We want people to come and work for us because we want to make sure that, you know, there's training that happens, you know, way ahead of time. We know that in preparation for the exit of this 573 employees, we are going to have to train differently. We're going to have to coach differently. We're going to have to bring in people to mentor, you know, differently, especially for our newer, you know, our new teachers that are walking in. So the way we've been doing, you know, business with the district, this is going to be a very different year in which we're not going to say, oh, it's same thing. We're going to onboard new employees like we've always done before, because it's going to be a completely new type of onboarding.
Yeah, so much, it sounds like so much has changed in recent years at the school district, but also I would think all school districts are grappling with this sort of post-pandemic world. Is that still sort of, do you still have sort of the echoes of that in your head as you make your plan moving forward?
I mean, definitely. I mean, we have kids that are still like not recovered, adults also that are still not, you know, like every time I get on a Zoom meeting or Teams meeting, I still get a little bit of, you know, PTSD from, oh my gosh, you know, right?
When your whole life was like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I have an example. I have a son who goes to Fresno Unify, and he's now in 10th grade, and he's like, Mom, but in fourth grade, I never got everything that I should have gotten. And so, yeah, that's why I'm struggling. And so it's not just him. It's an example of like what our kids are going through, that we have to just, you know, pause and be mindful. I mean, I'm seeing kids now in high school that were supposed to be in seventh grade, and then they really never went to seventh grade. And then they came in eighth grade, and then all of a sudden they went to high school. And so, you know, like we're having to shift and pivot and do things that traditionally, and I don't know if there's such a thing as traditional anymore.
Misty Herr, superintendent of the Fresno Unified School District. Thank you so much for coming to the studios and discussing this with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.